desires in order to purify the soul. So this by itself is a good and recommended action. I mean, as you said, in every school of thought, it can be praised that human beings, in order to actually be able to overcome some of the deficiencies that the soul has, to oblige itself to practice, to have some certain kinds of practices. But in Islam, in specifically in mystical schools, this concept of asesis or riyadha has been mentioned, and the outcome and consequences of this asesis has been mentioned. But in narrations, in the recommendations that we have received from the Holy Prophet and the infallible imams, or the conduct of these holy existence and holy figures, we have understood lots of lessons from what they have done in their own holy lives.
That's right.
In order to keep this this morale of riyadha or asesis in themselves, mm-hmm. right? Like speaking less, like, right. for example, experiencing the generosity among themselves or among people, mm-hmm. or the humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to be in order to practice humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or submission in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some prerequisites for that. Or in order to be a man of speaking less, so you need to practice with yourself, with the soul, in order to oblige your soul to actually step in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants only.
That's right.
Not to say something which is additional, not to ignore the words to be said that are necessary to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Want to say that this riyadha or asesis is an act of worship, because it is going to be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Like eating less, what is the outcome of eating less? So you have a good mood for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of the night.
That's right.
Or to some extent, we need a sort of isolation from the people. Tariq al-Dunya. No, we are not promoting this concept.
Yes.
To be away from the whole society, or isolated from the society. No.
To become fine, solitary, that's right.
Some very few minutes or hours for ourselves, to be with ourselves, mm-hmm. to actually find our accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to examine our accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called asesis, or riyadha.
That's right. Okay. Thank you very much, Brother Alavian. Sheikh Rouhani, so it seems that one of the ways in which we can purify our soul is a riyaza to nafs. And as I said at the beginning of the program, different schools of thought all across the world practice this type of action, riyaza. I mean, they bear difficult situations, even in solitary life, in confinement, in mountains, okay? To have a solitary life, to be away from the people, in order to find such a purification of the soul. So what are the main differences in both method and results of riyaza to nafs in Islamic school of thought and the non-Islamic ones?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you rightly mentioned, riyadha is a kind of self-refrainment, or we can say a kind of exertion. We mean that we make a lot of kind of physical and mental effort to achieve something in our spiritual life and to perfect our soul, to perfect ourselves. So when it comes to this kind of refrainment or self-refrainment, of course, sometimes we see that in non-Islamic, let's say, what we can say, orders, we have also, or let's say, ideologies or religions or sects, we have also a kind of riyadha. But the point is that from the Islamic perspective, riyadha should be completely in accordance with the Islamic Sharia.
Yes.
If you violate and cross the, let's say, the borders of the Sharia, mm-hmm. then of course whatever you achieve, mm-hmm. is not true, is not justified, is not accepted.
Out of the framework of Sharia, it's not accepted. That's right, okay?
This is the main difference between the riyadha that we have in Islam and mm-hmm. in non-Islamic kind of religions.
Okay, very good.
That is why sometimes we have some people who may, for example, make lots of efforts. They physically might put themselves into pressures, difficulties,
yes.
challenges, and they might bear and tolerate, let's say, sufferings and hardships to achieve some worldly or earthly kind of achievements, yes, or let's say successes.
So through these hardships, reach even some levels in order some extraordinary actions. That's
exactly
right.
Exactly. This kind of riyadat is not accepted by Islam.
Okay.
It's not true. Because the main objective of riyada is to get nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala satisfied, to get closer and closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not to, for the sake of these earthly and worldly, let's say, affairs and material kind of objectives in this life. And that is why we can say that when it comes to riyadat, of course, it should be under the supervision of the masters of these, let's say, riyadat. And a person cannot do these kind of things without any guide, without any master.
All right, that's right.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
A big line is made between riyaza and ruhbaniya. I mean, asceticism or asceticism and monasticism, Brother Alavian. So why these two must not be mixed with each other, and why? Especially based on Mullah Sadra teachings, you know, ruhbaniya is, we can say, prevented in Islam, isn't it? So why is it so?
Prior to Mullah Sadra, Islamic teachings tells us that we have been prevented from being isolated from society. Because
so monasticism is this, to be isolated only from the society?
So Rahbani we have been avoided from practicing Rahbani or monasticism.
That's right.
Well, since Islam is a multifaceted religion, so actually cares for different aspects of life of a human being in this world. One aspect of human life in this world is social, social contacts with the people, or because we have some crucial dimensions in our lives: our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our relations with others, with people, with society, our relation with the environment, and our relation with ourselves. So these four key dimensions have been defined in Islam and Islamic teachings. So we have a duty, we have sort of a commitment towards the society and the people.
I mean,
the kind of narrations that actually recommends us to be kind to your neighbor.
Yes.
It seems that even there is nothing more important than the neighbor in the world. You see how important this concept is in the view of Islam? That your neighbor, you have some duties towards your neighbor. So the same duties are going to apply for the people around, I mean, in your vicinity. So who is your neighbor? At least 40, I mean, houses next to your area.
All right.
This is the least thing. Again, your neighbor in your work space, the neighbor in your, I don't know. Lots of interpretation for this neighborhood.
Yes.
So when we have all these duties, can we be, I mean, apart from the society? Definitely no. So this is what Islam actually makes Islam different from others. Islam tells us that you need some time to be alone with yourself, to work on your own soul.
Yes.
But this is not going to be the whole day of yours, the whole night of yours. So you have a duty for others. It is, I mean, a limited time for yourself. I mean, to pay attention to what you have done. I mean, to do your muhasabah, accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you have done. So again, in Islamic teachings, we have some recommendations again in order to make this aspect of Islamic teachings more colorful, like what we have been avoided to be in a status of rahbaniya, but to be in a state of riyada, be in a status of riyada or asceticism.
Yes.
So when we are in the status of asceticism and we have accepted it, so we need to have to gain some knowledge from Islamic teachings first. So if we lack this knowledge from Islamic teachings, what would be the outcome? Rahbaniya.
Okay. Is it possible to reach the level, we can say, of riyaza without Sharia?
This is the difference. Okay. I'm telling you. Look, if we I step in the way of riyadah without the knowledge of sharia,
yes,
knowledge of religion,
okay,
or even acting upon it,
okay,
it would be rahbaniya. The outcome would be rahbaniya.
Okay.
So, but if we we have gained a good knowledge of aqaid, of akhlaq, of Islamic ahkams and rulings, then we enter to this world and realm of riyadah, ACSS, yes, then it would be the thing that is recommended, that is so desired for Islam, okay, and a Muslim as a duty.
All right. So, Sheikh Rouhani, it is possible that a person is deviated through riyadah, isn't it?
Why not, yeah.
Okay, I mean, so you put lots of hardships, lots of pressures on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You practice a lot, but at the end of the day, we can say all of them is gone. I mean, you are misled from the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you could not put it in the framework of taqwa, as Imam Ali alayhi salam puts it.
Yeah, you know, it depends that what is your objective, your purpose of practicing riyadah or acting according to riyadah, yeah? If your objective is some worldly affairs or earthly kind of achievements, then of course this kind of riyadhat are kind of useless riyadhat because it is just wastage of the energy of time and life. But if your objective is to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then because Allah's creatures are also have to be served by you, that's why when you achieve some, let's say, achievements spiritually, you have to share it with the others. You have to help others, yeah? Like prophets, for example, prophets, alayhim salatu wassalam, they have this highest level of, let's say, achievements spiritually. Can we say that they did not care about others?
All right.
They, or the imam, alayhim salatu wassalam. Look at Imam Sajjad, alayhim salatu wassalam.
Yes.
He had many students.
Yes.
And he trained them and he brought them up in accordance to this, let's say, Sharia law, and of course the enhancement of the level of purification in their souls. And also the other Imam alayhim salatu wasalam. So that's why we cannot say that this riyadhat should be a kind of completely isolation from the society, from the community, from the people, not caring about others, not helping others, not guiding others. These are the things that we should consider when we talk about riyadhah.
That's right. As we read in Ayah 40 and 41 of Surah An-Nazi'at, that, but as for him who is ought to stand before his Lord and restrains his soul from following desires, for sure paradise will be his place. That's right. Okay, so controlling desires, satanic temptations, you know, and under the framework of Sharia law, this is the best way in order to do riyadhah. And on that time, you know, that's right, doing extraordinary by the body is possible, but by the soul is more important, okay? So, and the true meaning of the riyadhah is going to happen the scale of the soul rather than the body. Thank you very much, Brother Alavyan and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of riyadhah to nafs. It was very kind of you.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir to another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website at iranradio.ir. log on to our website at iranradio.ir. World Quartz Day. The last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan is the World Quartz Day, the day to chant the innocence of the Palestinians and the oppression and savagery of the fabricated Israeli regime and its equally ruthless supporters and partners in crime. In this program, we will discuss the significance of this fateful day, World Quartz Day. Stay with us. The last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan is a day when Muslims and free-spirited people all over the world pour onto the streets of towns and cities across the world to support the Palestinian cause and the defenseless Palestinian people and sympathize with them against the brutal Israeli regime. The blessed month of Ramadan is a time to remember the oppressed and downtrodden in the world. The great martyr of this month, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says in his famous hadith to his elder son, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, "Be the enemy of the oppressor and the helper of the oppressed." This is, in fact, a call to all faithful and free-spirited people throughout history. The blessed month of Ramadan is the time to purify the soul and adorn it with godly characteristics. One of these characteristics is to help the weak and oppressed people everywhere as much as possible. The World Quds Day is the heritage of the great father of the Islamic Revolution, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul. In 1979, the late Imam Khomeini announced the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan as World Quds Day, and called on all Muslims throughout the world to make every effort they can to declare their support for the oppressed people of Palestine and set the ground for cutting off the hands of the Zionist regime from Palestine. The cause of Palestine was going to be completely forgotten, as then Prime Minister of the Israeli regime, Menachem Begin, and the former US President Jimmy Carter had signed the Camp David Accord with the betrayal of then Egyptian President Anwar Sadat in a bid to cast the sacred cause of Palestine into oblivion and pave the way for ultimate usurpation of Palestine. Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, in fact breathed a new spirit in the struggles against the Zionist regime. Thus, the World Goats Day turned into a nightmare ever since for the Zionists and its equally criminal supporters. Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, said in his message on decoration of the last Friday of Ramadan as World Quds Day, the Imam said, "For many years I have reiterated the danger of the usurper Israeli regime, which has escalated its savage attacks against the Palestinian brothers and sisters these days, and especially in the south of Lebanon, continues bombing the homes and hearts of Palestinians with the aim of destroying their combatants. I call on the Muslim world in general and the Islamic governments to join together to cut the hands of this usurper regime and its supporters. And I invite all world Muslims to choose the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan as World Quds Day. And, in a ceremony, announce the international solidarity of Muslims in support for the legal rights of the Muslim Palestinian people. I ask God Almighty, the Exalted, to make Muslims triumph over the disbelievers. The World Quds Day is the day which we try to direct our spirit in the path of sacrifice for our sisters and brothers. The concurrence of this day, this year, with Nowruz, the spring festival, reminds us that we shouldn't be negligent of great causes, particularly the cause of Palestine. As nature wakes up these days from the winter sleep, it reminds us of refreshing our intentions and motives to support the oppressed. Nowruz and Quds Day join together to say that it is the day of starting a new struggle for achieving freedom and justice. Freedom and justice are not mere aspirations in the mind, but they should be kept in mind while striving to reach them with practical steps. Nature gives us fresh energy to chant the great ideals of mankind. The last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan is the World Quds Day. We remember the greatest oppression exercised for the past 8 decades, namely the usurpation and occupation of the ancestral lands of the Palestinian people by migrants from various countries. The World Quds Day is a symbol of resistance, steadfastness and unity against oppressors and bullies of the world. It is the day to remind the world that Palestine has been occupied for nearly 8 decades by the Zionists, who consider the whole mankind as semi-humans and rather animals who should serve Jews and then killed wherever they are not needed. On this day, we speak of the oppressed people of Palestine and strongly believe that the Holy Quds will be liberated in the not-too-distant future. Until that day, we will not keep silent. The World Quds Day is a day to chant loudly in support of Palestine and the Palestinians and declare all nations and governments that Muslims and free people will struggle in this way until their last breath. Today is the day to announce clearly and vociferously that there is no option for liberation of Quds and the whole Palestine except through resistance with united ranks.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamu alaikum, dear brother and sister in faith and humanity, and welcome. This is a new episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we remain true to our pledge to Al-Quds. Today we're going to speak about Quds Day.
القدس تنادينا القدس تنادينا القدس تنادينا القدس تنادي القدس تنادي القدس تنادينا.
Because today is Friday, 27th of Ramadan, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, 8th of Farvardin, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of March, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. In this part, we listen to chapter Al-Hujurat from the Holy Quran, verse 10.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون.
The believers are but brothers, so make settlement between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy.
لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that inasmuch as you strive to reconcile to brothers, it is also incumbent upon you to make peace seriously and decisively amongst conflicting believers. What a meaningful and interesting expression. All believers are like brethren, and contentions and conflicts running amongst brethren are to be replaced by peace and sincerity. That's one of the most significant social responsibilities of Muslims against one another in administration of justice is clarified with all its dimensions.
We are all Hezbollah! We are all Hezbollah!
So, today is the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, and we commemorate the International Quds Day. The International Quds Day is among the legacies of the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. May Allah keep his soul in peace, who is revered as a spiritual leader by Muslims across the world. Back in 1979, shortly after leading an Islamic revolution which toppled the U.S.-backed Shah of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini named the last Friday of the fasting month of Ramadan the Quds Day. The Quds Day rallies this year are going to be held as the resistance confront changed the equations through the Al-Aqsa flood operation. The operation proved that sticking to resistance can bring about significant accomplishments. The Al-Aqsa flood operation revived the spirit of resistance, shattered the myth of the Israeli regime's invincibility, foiled The plot of normalization of ties with the Zionist regime showed the decline of the U.S. power and began the change in the world order.
The techniques that we see that's being used to try to destroy Islam is to make Muslims back away from the true message of Islam. The ulama tell us that now that this incident has taken place and many other incidents that have taken and will take place, that we should not, our response should not be one of becoming apologetic and trying to change Islam to make it something which is appealing to others who are against Islam. Because after all, what is Islam? Islam is the religion of justice. Islam is the religion of truth. Why should we back down from these core principles of truth, justice, or ubudiyyah in order to appease others? So that's a technique that we must stand up to and resist against. There are other techniques as well too. One of the techniques is to create divisions and to create labels. I want to just share a story that I heard in this regard that maybe you haven't heard before, of a very clever way that the enemies of Islam wish to create divisions. Once there was a man who was used to, every morning in the city of Isfahan, he used to recite Masa'ib of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. People would come and attend, and they would shed tears for the injustices that were that took place against the Ahlul Bayt. Now, he used to recite different masab at different times, mostly related to the incidents that took place at Karbala. But there was a certain period of time where he began to only recite the masab of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra every single day. One day after the other, the same sort of incidents. After a while, one of the ulama went to him and he said that, why is it that you have switched to only reciting the masab of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra? And you all know that on one hand, we recognize that this injustice that took place was a great injustice and is something that does need to be talked about and need to be understood. But it's also something that can be the source of division and disunity. And that's why everything has its own time and its own place. Why is it that you're not doing it every day? So he tells them the story. He said that I'm being paid to do that. Every day I receive 2 riyals. And because of that, I go ahead and do this. After all, there must be some donor who has this in mind, and so I go ahead and recite this masail. The alim goes and chases down the source of these 2 riyals. It turns out that this man receives it from somebody, a merchant in the bazaar. That merchant in the bazaar receives money from some man in the government. That man in the government receives money from whom? From one of the officials in the British embassy. This was in Iran at the time of one of the shahs. That man in the embassy would give 5 riyals to the man in the government. He would take 2 for himself. He would take the 3. He would go to the businessman in the bazaar. He would give him 2. And then he would go and give this to that person who was reciting the masail. Now, you know and I know that the man in the British embassy didn't have any particular love or affinity to Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra salamu alayha. He was after another goal.
The sound of a Lebanese child being terrorized by Israeli bombing. Palestinian children dying every day. How many will be killed this Ramadan? How many will not make it home safe tonight? Do you care? Will you stand with them? Will you march for Palestine? Make a stand for justice. March against Israeli oppression. Join the Quds Day March.
There's only one thing in my mind, and that is that when I face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, I will be able to say, Ya Allah, I did whatever I could for those. saying, Ya Allah, send us a helper.
Embrace the spirit of Ramadan. Join the struggle for justice.
Palestine will be free.
Palestine will be free. So, dear brother and sister, Palestine needs us. Al-Quds Day 2025. The declaration of the International Quds Day by Imam Khomeini was a good tiding for reviving the Palestinian struggle. A brief look at the Imam's message will highlight the importance of issue regarding the topic. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, I call the world Muslims and the Islamic governments to join the Palestinians in order to segregate the Zionist regime and its supporters. I declare the last Friday from the holy month of Ramadan as International Quds Day and invite the Muslims around the globe to hold rallies in solidarity with Palestine and in favor of their legal rights on that day. I hope that the holy day, which is religiously coincides with the decree days, could determine the destiny of Palestinians as well.
أرجو رضاك يا
الله
أنت الرحيم يا
الله
هبني عطاك يا
الله
أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا
الله
أنت العظيم يا
الله
فيك الرجاء يا
الله
أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
Fasting involves justice as we pay attention to our heart's rights and to our spiritual needs. To fast is an act of justice towards the self. It should also be an act of justice towards human beings around the world. Those who are oppressed, unjustly treated, Allah is just and He commands justice, as the Quran tells us. This is the message we Muslims should never forget as well, as we watch civilians being killed while they demand justice, freedom, and dignity. Our hearts and prayers should be with the oppressed, the Palestinians acknowledging that resistance against the oppressors is illegitimate, especially in non-violent ways, and especially during the month of Ramadan.
یکی از برجستگی‌های راهپیمایی روز قدس
This action, confronting problems within the Islamic Ummah, is one of the prominent aspects of Quds Day rallies. Notice that in almost all small and large cities of Iran, the people take to the streets on Quds Day while they are fasting. In recent years, they have been doing so in hot weather. You were witness to the large gatherings of the people in Tehran and other cities. Those people are Shia, but they express their sympathy and support for the Palestinians who are Sunnis. This is the meaning of unity. This is the meaning of commitment to the unity of the Islamic Ummah. It is our magnanimous Imam, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who laid the foundation for this, and today the people are moving towards it, unity.
معنای اتحاد اینه
Dear brother and sister, keep us and all your brothers and sisters in your prayers. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
الشوق طال والقلب سال
the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Welcome to Women of Resistance. Now the woman whose voice we want to amplify today is Rawan in Gaza. An accomplished accountant and a mother of two, Rawan offers an insight into the horrors women and children are experiencing in the occupied Palestine as the genocide rages on. With me here in the studio today is Carol Swartz, a peace and equality activist. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you for your invitation.
Your initial thoughts first on the story of Rawan.
Extreme sadness, anger, and worrying about what her future is, what her child's future is. Is she going to be a grandmother? Is she going to be a great-grandmother? I'm five-generation family. And she's pleading, not for herself. She's pleading for what's happening. Please don't forget us. And also, I heard while she's talking, the drones above her continue all day, all night. Her little baby son, I've got a great-granddaughter who's a couple of months difference to her, just in ages, and she's meeting all her milestones. She's just done a 25-meter swimming. She's ringing me on the phone, grandma, you know. What is the future for her little boy if we don't keep up the fight? This is why we cannot stop. In fact, we need to step it up, and negotiations after negotiations. We just have to sit and hope and pray that there is going to be a future. There's going to be a future for her children, for her future, for their future, for humanity's future, because if we continue down this line of accepting this happening, there is no future.
But do you think, Carol, that as we watch, we have been watching the genocide like this for over a year now, and me and you, you know, you're talking about your grandchild and seeing her story, connecting it to you. Do you think that everybody is able to see this? Do they realize these are women like me and you? They have got dreams. They have got children. They've got lives. When our politicians, for example, are making decisions complicit in the genocide, do they see these women as normal human beings?
No. Some do. Some try to. But a lot of them don't talk about it. Don't want to talk about it. But there's a line there as well, because I think there's a big mistake happening with all the films that are going on. When you watch something on Ukraine, again, mothers with children and struggling, why is it always in English? Why is it always in English? Whenever it's on TV, you always have someone English speaking or dubbed in English. And why is it the struggle to, which she's brilliant, she speaks amazing, God, I have trouble speaking English, and she's dual language, she speaks another language, and eloquently in telling us her story. But why isn't there more stories being told, and in English, dubbed in English, not sort of like in Arabic, because people switch off to that. Mm-hmm. But more people, I think, switch on to the Ukraine, because it is in English. You are getting that story from the mum. Oh, my child, this, my school, this, my that. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some kind of link missing there, right, when it's on the BBC, yeah, when it's on whatever programme it comes on. Yeah. Yes, a lot of it, the majority of it is full of propaganda. Full of propaganda, we know that. But unless we hear the words...
Which is what we're trying to do, Carol, you know, bringing these stories so that we can hear from them firsthand rather than us speaking for them. Now, just to remind, we are discussing the story of Rawan from Gaza on this episode of Women of Resistance. The other thing, Carol, is, you know, one of the major problems why this is happening, and now it's happening in Syria, you know, and there's going to be a lot of Rawans all over the world, especially in the Middle East. It comes from the crux of imperialism. We sit at the seat of imperial nation here. Do you think there will ever come a time when we will live in the Western world that is not advocating occupation, that's not advocating imperialism? Does that look possible?
No, I can't see it. I can't see people stop believing the propaganda. I can't see it happening. Our children are getting more because we've got the internet and whatever, but again, the propaganda's on there. So when you're continuously being said, well, these are terrorists, these like what's happening in Syria, they don't look at the terrorists who are committing the atrocities. Like, they don't look at Israel. They look at that because it's the first link is Hamas terrorists. Hezbollah, terrorists, Syria, Assad, terrorist. Because you're programmed to think the way they want you to think, this is the way it works. So capitalism will continue. Imperialism will continue because people are brainwashed into thinking and listening to what they tell you.
What is our role in that? Because, you know, especially as women and women who are able to come from different walks of life, because there is a common factor here, which is humanity that's bringing us together. What is our role? I mean, you heard Brahman saying, don't give up, be persistent, speak for us, because they can't speak for themselves. What can we do, Carol?
We can do whatever we can as mothers, as grandmothers, as great-grandmothers. We tell her story. We don't stop telling the story. We don't care about who we upset by telling the story. We go to demonstrations. We write letters. We talk on radio shows. We talk on talk shows. We continue. We put posters up. We put flags up. We wear the kafaya. We keep Palestine alive. We keep Rouhani's children alive by talking. This is the only way we can do it. And not only talking to ourselves and to people who believe in what we believe in humanity, talk to the ones that don't believe. Talk to the ones who are saying, oh, Hamas, oh, this, oh, that. These are the ones. You can talk to as many people as you like who think the same as you.
And I think you have been doing a lot of that. You were telling me beforehand. But, you know, if Rouhani was listening to you and she needs that assurance, what would you say to her, Carol?
I'm saying don't give up.
Absolutely. And on that note, you know, we are not giving up. Thank you so much, Carol, for being with us today. And thank you. Until next time, we leave you with the Palestinian sounds of the artist Saif. Goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
People across the globe, including Iran, take to the streets to mark the International Quds Day that falls on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. Speaking on the occasion of the Quds Day, Yemen's Ansarullah leader calls on all Arab nations to take practical measures to thwart Israel's expansionist ambitions. And the UN says Gaza is facing the longest period it has been without any supplies, as no humanitarian aid has entered the territory for over 3 weeks. Live from Tehran, I am Bahman Nouri, and this is News.
Millions of people across the globe take to the streets to mark the International Quds Day, which falls on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. The rallies held in many countries, including Iraq, Yemen,